I'm looking at a subject this morning. I've entitled my message, Why Does God Allow Troubles? Now, Job says like this, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And in a sense, that sounds like maybe a negative message, but at the same time, it can be a very positive message. And as we look at scriptures, we want to look at some of that this morning, is that both the ungodly man and the most godly man, both of them experience troubles. And I don't think for a minute that God allows us to experience troubles just for the kicks of it. There's no greater cause in mind. He just is going to give you trouble and to see and sit back and see how you're going to do. And I'm a firm believer that the things that God gives to us are for a purpose, are for a reason, regardless how troublesome, using that word this morning, they are. And fact is, when I think about this, troubles, how else could we even grow if we wouldn't have any troubles in our lives? What would be in us to motivate us to get close to the heart of God and to try to understand really who God is? And as I reflect back in my life, and those of you that are older, I'm sure you can identify with this, that way back already, before I went to school, already faced troubles. Now, they're on a different level as they are when we mature. And then you go to school, you face troubles there. You get into the youth age, you face troubles there. You face troubles in your 20s, your 30s, and 60s. And I assume that if you have them in your 60s, you have them in your 70s and your 80s as well. My Bible reading I'd like to begin with this morning is in Deuteronomy 31, verse 14 through verse 19. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of strangers of the lands, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles, and there's our word, shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evil days come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day, for all the evils which shall have wrought in that day are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouth, that is a song that may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Now, as we look at the story of the children of Israel, we know that the children of Israel were a people that faced a lot of troubles, especially when they departed from God. But I think we also clearly understand that the heart of God was always to draw those people back to him. And we could talk about some of those experiences they had. It got so bad that finally they were exiled into another land. And yet in all of that, in all of their troubles, they began to seek God. And God miraculously brought them back in spite of the fact that the walls of Jerusalem were demolished and it looked like a hopeless mess. It was in those troubles that they turned to God, and Nehemiah turned to God. And as Bible readers, you know the story. It's a beautiful story. It tells us that those walls were built in such a beautiful way. Everybody worked together. And God again brought and drew these hearts back to him in a real way. Now, we know not all of our troubles are that big. They vary. But I think most of our troubles are things that God always used with the idea of bringing us back to him into a deeper, into a better relationship with him. Now, when we think of godly men, do they face trouble? Should they face trouble? And we only have to look at the Apostle Paul. I doubt if anybody here would say that I'm a more of a godly man than the Apostle Paul. And this is what the Apostle Paul says: we are troubled on every side. I find that interesting. David, a man after God's own heart. In Psalms it says that he's so troubled that he cannot speak. Now, some of us have probably experienced that as well. And if you have, you're not alone. Because David was also, that's in Psalm 77, verse 4. And a more familiar verse is in Psalms 42, 11, where it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" And here's David's response, I think, to his own being troubled and downcast. He says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him." And we find that David was that kind of a man. One time he was really, really troubled. And things were really going bad south for him. And the Bible tells us he encouraged himself in the Lord. So that's the thing we can learn. One of the things we can learn from David, that it seems like whenever there was trouble in his life, instead of looking for self-pity, why me, Lord? Why, oh God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? You're always picking on me. And instead of that, he hoped in God, for I shall again praise him. After I worked through this thing, there's going to be praise coming from my lips. And then, not only do we have that as we work through those things, those troubles that come in our lives, the next time trouble comes, we can reflect back to this trouble and we can remember, yes, there was victory in that. Yes, I found what I needed. I found what I needed from God, and he gave it to me. My spirit was again able to praise him, and I'm going to be able to work through this one again and again praise him. Now the Bible says in Psalms 34:19, this nails it well, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so it doesn't matter this morning. We can only expect that in life, as righteous as we may be, we can expect afflictions. Now, it doesn't seem quite right from a human perspective that a righteous man should face afflictions. But that's what the Bible is teaching us. You see, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And he just works differently than the human nature would tend to work. But the rest of the verse says this, and this is what, as believers, as righteous people, we cling to: but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And he doesn't say, I'll deliver you out of one or two of them, but he delivers them all out of them all. And so we find that both the righteous and the unrighteous face troubles. Now, the key is, of course, how we deal with our troubles. Society, for example, also has troubles, and they deal with troubles, and you know how they deal with some of their troubles. There's a lot of drunkenness in our world. There's a lot of drug use in our world. And these are not addictions that were ever an issue to me, but there are other addictions that have been an issue and are an issue to me, and I want to look at them. But I can only imagine, because of what I know about this, that at the end of the day or at the end of the week, it's time to just wash our troubles away. And even though it's for overnight, and so I'm going to party tonight and I'm going to get drunk or I'm going to get high, and it feels so good for the moment. But then the next morning, the next day, you'd have to deal with it all over again. But just because we don't get indulged in those, we can indulge in other things. One of them, and I thought I had him here somewhere. Here they are. We can indulge in self-pity. That feels good too, for the moment, because I mean, it doesn't work very long. We can become defensive. We can have mental arguments, and that feels good for the being, because you can always win those. But then the next day they come back, or the next hour. We can get angry, and I suppose most of us have experienced some of these. We can just go into isolations. We can go into silence, and that maybe feels good too. It's a temporary fix. But one of the things that I think every person, every human being, whether he's a righteous person or whether he's an unrighteous person, he cares about his troubles and he wants to fix his troubles. And so that's why in our world today, there is such a, what is the word to use? But when people get in trouble, they spend all kinds of money to fix their troubles. And so there's a lot of money in drugs. And temporary fixes, there's a lot of money in that. And our government tries to fight back against it. But it's, from what I read and hear, it's only getting worse and worse. And now it's getting so bad that they're starting to cry out and say, you know what, we're losing too many people with these drugs. They become so powerful that it kills people, and they overdo it. And that's where our society is today. How much better for the righteous when the psalmist says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them all. And I trust that as a people of God, you have experienced deliverance from your affliction. Maybe you haven't been able to get to the very top of all of them. I don't know where you're at. I know afflictions still come, and there's still a tendency to let those things get us down. But here's the thing that blesses me in Psalms. Is that the Lord delivers them out of all. And so God's heart this morning, I believe, is bent on delivering his people out of their trouble. To me, that is very comforting when I think about that, that God's heart is bent to do that. Now, how he's going to do that, I don't always know, because God's ways are not our ways. And that, to me, is a breath of fresh air. It feels way better than the self-pity, pity stuff, the silent treatment, the defensiveness, and drugs and alcohol. At the end of the day, I remember somebody saying in the prison one time when there was a movement there in somebody's life, he said he felt so high. It was kind of like getting high, but the next morning it was no hangover. And I believe that's how the Lord delivers us out of our things. You don't have to go through the hangover. You don't have to go and repeat the whole thing again and again. I am troubled, but I will praise him. What a testimony. And so the heart of God, even though troubles come, the heart of God is there to deliver us in times of trouble. He's a place to flee to. He's a refuge. He's a safe place. It's a good time to think of refuge, safe places, excuse me, hunters. But I understand there are places that are refuge for wildlife. And the deer sometimes know where they're at. And so if hunting season comes along, they can run. And I think some of them are smart enough to know that. They can run to those safe places. And they may be the most beautiful trophy deer, and he runs to that safe place, and it's a refuge there. Now this deer can, even though he's the most beautiful deer with the nice rack on, he can go to that place of refuge. He can graze there. He can sleep there. He can, you know, just be himself. It's a beautiful place for them when you think about that. But think about that refuge, a safe space that God wants to give to us, where we can flee to when we face troubles. Psalm says, in times of trouble, you're a hiding place. Now, I thought of this when I was thinking of that this morning, a place of refuge. I have now grandchildren, and I can have good interactions with my grandchildren. I enjoy it. I love it. But you know what? When they're in trouble, when they fall and hurt themselves, I don't even really try that much to comfort them. I take them to grandma, I take them to mom or somewhere, and dump them off until they're healed. And you know, isn't that awesome that they have a refuge, they have a place to go to, a place to be touched, a place to be comforted, and then they're okay again. And I think that's a picture that God is trying to give us this morning, is I want you to come to me in times of trouble. Don't go to self-pity, don't go to all those other places. Come to me, allow me to do that. In fact is, I think it would be insulting if I would refuse to let my grandchildren go back to their grandma or their mama when they're hurt. I think it would. I'd say, oh, no, you just got to be tough. No. And I think God's probably insulted when we run to all kinds of other things to try to find healing for whatever troubles we've faced in life. They aren't my hiding place. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And that's the other side that I think is so beautiful that we may not forget. Because it is true, when we come to God in our time of trouble, and He takes us and He comforts us, and then it should, at least, we glorify Him. God wants to free us. And God does not, and this can happen, but God doesn't want us to be in perpetual trouble. I'm saying, if we're not careful, that's all we think and all we talk, is our troubles. And probably some of you know people like that, that you never even meet them there. Well, it's their troubles. And we have our part to do. I do believe that. Let's look in Exodus 17. There's an amazing story. This is the children of Israel. You know how they were. They were pretty grumpy. And the Bible says they're there for our examples. And maybe we wouldn't have their examples. We would have to go through all this without understanding some things that how the human nature works. But Exodus 17... Man, I got the wrong scripture here, I believe. Let me see if it's Exodus 7. Where is it? Can somebody tell me where it is that you read about the rock that Moses struck? For some reason I have the wrong reference there.
It is 17.
It is. Okay, thank you for that. Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey, and according to commandments of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why do you chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children with in cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, and take it in thine hand, and go. Behold, I stand before thee there on the rock in Horeb, and there thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Now, this is a very sad story. Really, it is. In reality, you would think there should be a verse right after 7 where it says that there were 2 million voices that rose up and praised God when this water began to flow out of the rock, but it doesn't say anything about it. Maybe it happened, but I have my questions that it did. Now, these people were in serious, serious trouble. Maybe in trouble that we never encounter, but they were in trouble. And they were out in the wilderness, and those of us that live here in Texas this year, we can only imagine what it would have felt like to be out in the August sun and there's no water. You know you're going to die, you're not going to make it, and that's what they were complaining about. We're going to die. But these people had just witnessed, not too long before, they witnessed the plagues. They saw what happened to the cattle of the Egyptians and their cattle, and they saw all those things unfolding, plague after plague. And they were perplexed, protected. Their oldest son and the Egyptians was slain. Their sons were living. And not only that, they came down to the Red Sea. And there again, man, they're getting restless. And I understand that. They begin to wrestle. And then God marvelously parts the Red Sea. And they walk through the Red Sea. And unfortunately, then here comes Pharaoh's army. But you know how this story ended. They were destroyed as well. And now they stand in the wilderness, and they're wringing their hands, and they say, "What are we supposed to do with our troubles?" And they, "Is the Lord among us?" What a sad day for them. This is a tendency. It happens all the time. They went to Moses and said, "Moses, Moses, Moses, we will die. What are you going to do about this? Moses, why did you bring us out in the wilderness? Moses, Moses, Moses." And you know, they expected Moses to give them water. Can you imagine? I don't know what Moses felt like. Moses wasn't God. And I think sometimes in life we get up against a brick wall. This is what I would say these people were up against: a brick wall, a huge brick wall. Sometimes we get to a brick wall, we don't know where to turn to. And we start saying the same thing they did. "Moses, give us water." And we don't use Moses, we might use my brother, my sister, my pastor, my wife, my husband. "Give me water. I'm thirsty. Give me water." It can happen in marriages. Give me what I want. Suck on each other like leeches. And we do that sometimes to other human beings. And the problem was that I see here is they wanted to trust in their own hand. The Bible says somewhere, cursed is the man that trusts in his own arm, trying to figure out things, complex things ourselves. We weren't made to do that. Now, the amazing thing is, up against a brick wall, and this is hard to think if you were ever there, and I'm sure many of you were, but when they were up against, and they needed water desperately, the resources were only a few feet away. They didn't know it, but God knew it. God knew what was there. And then the Bible tells us that God commanded Moses to strike the rock. And you know the story. The water gushed out. Way more than they needed. Quite obviously, because it ran along the ground. And the New Testament says something interesting in the book of Corinthians. And I don't know what this means to you. People have different ideas about it. But it talks about that rock that followed them. And some ideas are that this meant that this stream followed them all through the wilderness. Now, I don't know where you take that. I don't know if it did or if it didn't. But I would think at least a memory of it should have. Now, in the New Covenant, we know that that is true. That rock, that fountain that God has for us can follow us through all of our life. It's not just a one-time opening, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus that we can walk with all of our life. He can give us that bread of life. And so the resources are always, and that's what we can learn, one of the things we learn from this, that the resources are always available. And you know, it's always a blessing. I had some things happen to me in the more recent, and I felt myself kind of going back to an old pattern that I thought was dealt with, and here the thing comes again, and then there's amazing things happening. You know, just to wait sometimes and to trust in God to stand still can be so difficult. Because we want to go back to that arm of flesh. How can I fix this? How can I fix this? And maybe we tossed and turned in bed, or we have this thing going through our mind. Instead of blessing God and praising God for past deliverance, we again go back to the weak and the beggarly elements of this world and try to fix our troubles with those things. And it never works. But it is difficult to stand still. And that's, I can't imagine how that felt when Moses took the children of Israel at the Red Sea. And here comes Pharaoh's army, and here's the Red Sea. And Moses is just like, stand still. An amazing thing happened. Again, the resources were there. The power was there. And so I see these people. They're running through the camp, wondering, what are we going to do? And dads and moms and children, I guess we're all going to die tomorrow. We're all going to die of thirst. Our cows are all going to die. Our calves and everything is going to die. That's probably what they're running through the camp. Instead of running through the camp and telling them, hey, you know what happened? Back when we got to the Red Sea. Hey, you know what happened with Pharaoh's army? Hey, do you know what happened with the plagues? You remember that? We do have a God. We can trust in him. And it's possible that we can get so focused on our problems that we cannot even see a miracle when there is a miracle. And that's bad, because then it can just go from bad to worse. Now, just in our closing thoughts here, Isaiah, some of the most beautiful words. It says like this, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for," we could say drugs, really, "for that which is not bread, and in your labors for that which satisfy not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." And I can't imagine when that stream flowed out of that rock, these people delighted themselves. I believe they were filled. They weren't thirsty anymore. They weren't even thinking about dying tomorrow. All of a sudden, there was life-giving substance there. And you know, as God, I think God was pleased to look down and watch these people become satisfied. And no doubt God is pleased today when we become totally satisfied in Him. We come to Him, like Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding." It's so easy to reverse that verse and say, "Well, I'm going to try to lean on my understanding and my troubles. And then if that doesn't work, then I guess I'll have to trust in God." And in the Proverbs writer, he says, just trust in the Lord with all your heart. And makes life really easy, doesn't it? If we're able to do that. And so standing still without trying to figure it out is the challenge that I give to myself this morning. And I invite you to kneel for a word of prayer. Lord, this morning, we're human beings and we don't always get our stuff right. But I thank you for the examples and things that you have in Scripture that inspire us, especially when we look at your provision that you have for us all the time. And it's not far away, just like this water wasn't far away from the children of Israel, and yet they were grumbling and complaining. Help us, Lord, to better to know how to trust you, because we know that troubles do come, and troubles may even get a lot worse. But we do want this, to trust in you. We want a deeper understanding of just trusting in you when troubles come, just resting. And instead of trying to get our own arm of flesh involved and figuring things out, bless this people, this congregation. Bless especially Brother Kevin and his sickness, and pray that you would again grant him health. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.